Welcome to Tard Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Elisheva Schmidman, and today we will be studying Yoel chapter 4. Last time we learned about the knowledge of God, prophecy, and signs and wonders that will return in the final redemption, and God's day of judgment for the nations of the world, a reference to the war of Gog Umagog. Today, we will explore in more detail the nature of the Day of Judgment and contrast the fate of our enemies to that of the Jewish people. Verse 1 states, Ki hine b'yamim ha'hema uva'et ha'hi. Behold, in those days and in that time, in the time of Mashiach, when God brings back the Jewish people, explains the Radak, I will gather all the nations and bring them to the valley of Yehoshaphat and judge them for the sins they committed against my nation. While the Valley of Yehoshaphat could be a reference to a specific valley in Jerusalem, the name also indicates its purpose, Yehoshaphat, where God judges. In the time of the final redemption, not only will God restore our fortune and rebuild Israel, but the nations of the world will be judged for their wrongdoings against the Jewish people and punished in the war of Gog Umagog, as mentioned in Yechezkel. What will they be punished for? Verse 2 continues, For my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and have divided up my land. If God decreed, though, that we would be in exile, why are the nations being punished so severely? The Malbim explains through our verse, Firstly, they are being punished for scattering us among the nations. Even in exile, even amongst our enemies, we couldn't find rest for long, but were expelled from one country after another. Secondly, they are being punished for dividing my land. They treated the Jewish people as their slaves, as if everything the Jewish people owned belonged to them. Yoel continues, The nations of the world will also be punished for the disgraceful way they treated my children, for selling the children as prostitutes and slaves, as mentioned in verse 3. After generally mentioning the sins of the nations, Yoel, in the name of God, specifically singles out the nations of Tsor and Sidon, Tyre and Sidon, major trade cities that were located in the north of Israel. He says, Why are you treating my people so badly? What have I done to you? You have taken my gold and silver, carried off my treasures, and sold the people of Yehuda and Jerusalem to the Greek islands, distant lands that make it difficult for them to return to Israel. Why is God specifically singling out Tsor and Sidon? Not only does it seem random, but there were other nations that wreaked far greater havoc on the Jewish people than they did. The Malbim explains that they are being singled out precisely because they weren't the ones who caused the destruction. God is addressing them saying, You weren't even one of the nations I sent to punish my people, and yet you still treated them badly. Who were you to get involved? The Radak takes it further and says, Not only were you not one of the nations I sent, but you were Israel's neighbors. You were meant to be friendly, to treat the Jewish people well, and yet you took advantage of the times they were attacked to join in and collect the spoils. The verse itself reflects another evil that Tsor and Sidon committed. They sold the Jewish people to far-off islands. This wasn't just about making a profit, but about distancing the Jewish people from their land, indicating their hatred towards the Jewish people. Yet measure for measure, mida keneged mida, God will return the Jewish people that Tsor and Sidon sold. Behold, the verse says, I will rouse them to leave the place you have sold them to, and will sell their children to Yehuda to be sold into the hands of a distant nation. God will in turn sell the children of Tsor and Sidon to far-off lands. The word used to describe God's returning the Jewish people is interesting and unexpected. I will rouse them, or I will awaken them. We would expect the term to be, I will bring them, or carry them back. The term awaken connects us to Shir HaShirim, a love song which many commentators explain as an allegory between God and the Jewish people. There, In a stirring scene between the dod and the ra'aya, the beloved and the lover, the man is knocking on his beloved's door, drenched in rain, while she is in bed, too tired to get up and open the door. She comments, "Ani yishena v'libi er, kol dodi dofek. I was asleep, but my heart was wakeful. The voice of my beloved knocks." The language of awakening is a call to us all to hear the voice of God, the knocking of God beckoning us back to his land, to Eretz Yisrael, to the land of Israel. After addressing Tzor and Sidon, Yoel turns back to the nations at large in verses 9 and 10. "Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for battle." Addressing the nations of the world, Yoel proclaims, "Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears." This is the exact opposite of a verse in Yeshayahu, Isaiah, chapter 2, verse 4, which states that they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. The time for judgment has come. Yoel continues addressing the nations. "Gather in the valley of Yehoshaphat, for there you will be judged." Continuing with the imagery of agriculture, Yoel describes the nations as ready for harvesting. Their juice is ready to be squeezed out because of all the evil they have committed. The day of God is close. The sun, moon, and stars will be darkened. And for the climax, God will roar from Sion and shout out loud from Jerusalem, so that heaven and earth tremble. But God will be a shelter to his covenanted people, a refuge to the children of Israel. "And you shall know," says Yoel, "that I, the eternal God, dwell in Zion, my holy mount." God will roar, its reverberations causing shaking and trembling, but he will be our iron dome, protecting his children, shielding us from harm. It is here that the contrast between us and the other nations becomes even more stark. While Edom and Egypt will be desolate and will dry up, as it says in verse 19, for all of the sins they have committed, the land of Israel will flow with water, mountains will drip with wine, and the hills will flow with milk. "From the house of God," writes Yoel, "a spring shall flow," referencing an actual spring, as mentioned in Yirmiyahu and Zechariah. The Malbim, though, understands the spring metaphorically. As Torah is compared to water, he explains that the spring flowing forth refers to the Torah and faith that will flow from the Beit HaMikdash, from the Holy Temple. Israel will prosper and flourish agriculturally, economically, and spiritually, while our enemies' lands will become desolate. Egypt, which was previously likened in the Torah to the Garden of Hashem in Bereishit chapter 13, for its independent source of irrigation, will dry up. Why are Egypt and Edom specifically mentioned over other nations? The Radak explains that Egypt is a reference to the people of Yishmael, as Yishmael married an Egyptian woman, and Yishmael's mother, Hagar, was from Egypt. Edom is a reference to the kingdom of Rome. Both Edom and Yishmael have been the two great nations against us throughout our history. And in this chapter, God is promising retribution for all the suffering they have caused us. "But Judah," the verse continues, "shall be inhabited forever, and Jerusalem throughout the ages. V'nikesi zamam lo nikesi, v'Hashem shochein b'tzion. And though I have acquitted them, those who shed their blood, I have not acquitted, and the Lord will dwell in Zion." In the very last verse of Sefer Yoel, the book of Yoel, we are told that while God might absolve the nations for the sins they committed against him, says Rashi, or for the possessions they stole from the Jewish people, explains Rav Yosef Kara, he will not absolve them from the Jewish blood they spilled. This is a powerful reminder to us today, that though we might not see justice at the moment, God does not forget, and he will exact retribution against our enemies. Damam lo nikesi. God does not take lightly Jewish blood that is spilt. Before we close, let's take a moment to step back and take a look at Sefer Yoel as a whole. While the book began with a warning of a dire punishment, it was followed by a call to repentance and an insight into the end of days, both in terms of God's justice that he will exact on the nations of the world and the return and flourishing of the Jewish people. Sefer Yoel began with many unknowns, who Yoel was and when he prophesied, and for what we were being punished. The lack of answers brought us to the recognition that we can't always ask why, but we can ask for what. For what purpose did God bring this upon us, and how can we grow from whatever challenges we face? Perhaps, though, the end of Sefer Yoel can be another tool in navigating this uncertainty and lack of clarity. By learning that God will exact justice on our enemies and will not only restore but reinvigorate our connection to him and to the land of Israel, we can be comforted that God does love us and care for us, and that there is a plan, though we cannot understand it now. While the past informs our present and hopes for the future, the promises of the future can in turn inform our present. Our connection to God, steadfastness, and trust in him is a product of past, present, and future melded together. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmat, Gilbert Carcenti, Menachem Mendel, Ben Saud.